Lord another hand clap of praise. Thank Him for His presence tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Tenney. Let me say on this first night how humbled I am and appreciative of the responsibility and the honor to stand in this pulpit, this particular pulpit, this tabernacle, this meeting, youth camps have shaped my life. Some of the greatest men of God that I've ever known have stood here, preached to me, and changed me to the anointed Word of God. To stand here is no light thing, savor of life and death. And I appreciate the privilege, opportunity, and I thank Brother Tenney and Brother Cox and the entire district board for their invitation to be here. It's good to be home. I appreciate each and every one of you, and I love this district, and I'll always be in some way part of it, regardless. I want to say to those government officials that are here, thank you for coming. It's good to see Brother Marler, my friend, a great man of God on this platform, Brother Cole, who many times Bogalusa Bible Conference in years gone by stirred and encouraged and strengthened me, and for him to come and be part of this meeting is a particular pleasure. My folks are here somewhere. I've been looking for them and I can't find them, but Dad, not. I'm glad you're here. My sister, I think, is here, and come see me after church. 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning at verse 13, I'll read, I believe it's the 17th verse that I'll finish on, and then I'll turn to Hebrews 11, and I'm just going to read one verse there. This sermon was not on my mind or on my list for this camp meeting until only a few days ago, and the Lord begin to quicken it to my heart. I did not think it would in any way be for tonight, but only day before yesterday or so, God talked to me about this message. So whoever's here that this is for, and there's more than one, open your heart. God wishes to speak to you this evening. 2 Kings 6, beginning at verse 13, and he said, and the he here is the king of Syria, go and spy where he is, and the king here is Elisha, the man of God, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told the king, saying, behold, Elisha is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed, surrounded the city about. And when the servant of Elisha, the man of God, was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto Elisha, alas, my master, how shall we do? And Elisha answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. This is my favorite part. And he saw. And behold, that's the Bible way of saying, wow. The mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about surrounding Elisha. Hebrews 11:3, one of the scriptures most prophetic and amazing scriptures. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were structured, framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. What the apostle is writing here is that the visible world is made of the invisible. That behind what we see is a reality unperceived that is the very structure or form of the world in which we live. I want to preach about the real world tonight. The real world. Let's ask the Lord to have His way. Jesus, it's Your Word. We're Your children. I ask You to anoint this preaching tonight. Speak to every heart. Accomplish Your purpose. Use us to Your glory. Let our hearts and lives be open to the anointing of Your Spirit. Touch and move in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. It is a fundamental truth of life, of our physical world, that you and I are slaves to our senses. Okay. It is in fact fundamentally true that we live in a prison house, the bars of which are made up of our five abilities to perceive our world. And we live, though one part of us, intellectually perhaps, we understand that there is a whole world out there, even in the physical realm, beyond that which we can see, taste, feel, hear, or smell. But if we cannot perceive it with one of these five senses, then to large measure in the way that we live, it isn't real. If I cannot touch it, see it, hear it, taste it, smell it, it must not be there. But the principle of my message tonight is simply this. There is a whole world out there. In fact, there is something in this service tonight that cannot be captured with the five senses. And yet it is more real than the physical world where we live. Beyond the apparent world is a whole new realm that we cannot explore with our physical abilities, that reaches beyond that which we could touch. And yet it is real. The writer tries to capture this in so many ways. He says, now we see through a glass darkly. It is, the writer of Hebrews tells us, a point of faith that we even understand in some primal way that the world that we see is only shadow. It is only the facade. It is only that which is perceptible in the physical realm. But the very substance of it, that which even gives it form, is beyond our abilities. It is the fundamental substance of the real world. It is the Spirit. It is the name. It is the blood. It is the power. They are not abstract. They are not wishful thinking. They are not what we fall back on when there are no answers. They are real. They exist. And somehow we must touch them to know the real world. See, mankind, all of us here tonight are born incomplete. There are dear friends here tonight that could testify to us of what it is like to live in the world with some sort of lacking of an ability that others have. But in a very real sense, all of us were born with a very serious birth defect. There is something missing in every one of us. Most all of us here are blessed with the five senses. We can see and hear and smell and feel and taste. And therefore it is difficult for us to imagine our lives without these abilities. They are the very window on our world. But if you could imagine with me tonight what it would be like had you never seen. You could hear me now, but you would have no reference point. No idea what a human face looks like. The movement of expression, the emphasis of gestures, the complexity of such a crowd. The colors in this room, red, just a concept. Green, only an imagination. Then imagine with me the total inability to connect with the world. What if none of our senses were at work? We had no window, no pipeline, no ability to perceive what was around us. We could not even imagine what beauty might be lying outside of us. What glory and majesty and wonders might be real, but we cannot touch them. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, there is a world out there that we were not born with the ability to touch. But it's wonders and majesty and power and might beyond our ability is real. They are real. It would be a world beyond knowing. Not distant, just not there. Unreachable, unknowable, unexplorable. There is such a world. I shared some of these thoughts at a men's conference here, and I reminded those gentlemen that once man was at home in that very world. He visited it, or more correctly, it visited him every day in the cool of the evening. It was not a weird, woolly, wild, far-out experience. It didn't put goosebumps on them. It wasn't some kind of strange, outlandish experience at all. It was as normal to them as taking a breath or seeing a bright, sunlit day. It was a normal experience when the trees began to sway. And the book says the voice of the Lord walked in the garden and they recognized His presence. Oh, for that ability to connect with the real world and know that we are not alone. But suddenly there is another who walks with us on our roads to Emmaus. And in the darkest nights of our heartache and sorrow, we are connected with the real world. It's not imaginary. It's not worked up with the right song. It doesn't come with the right preacher. It's not the result of some psychological effort. It is real. And we need the ability to recognize. Perhaps they saw His smile. Certainly they knew His joy in being with them. Ladies and gentlemen, sin robbed man of this ability. I am convinced that it did not disappear instantly. They were driven from the garden when they rebelled against Him and from His presence. But they still must have retained some fundamental recognition that there's more out there. There's a real world beyond this world. Though we never see Adam and Eve stand again at an altar, we find their son, who somehow had a residue of their ability, who gathered at an altar, no preacher, no Bible, no church. How did he know? But somehow he had a recognition. Blood is the doorway. Blood is the highway. That by the shedding of blood, there is the remission of sins. And when he sacrificed on that altar, he began to connect with another world. He realized there's more to it than what I see. The familiarity that they felt with this world is even evident in a negative sense, because Cain was comfortable enough in the presence of God to be flippant and irreverent in the face of God. but unused like other senses. This ability to connect with that unseen world began to shrivel and die. Until mankind was so out of touch with the other world that the Bible says the earth was filled continually with evil. Their imaginations knew but one track. Until there was only one man who had a fleeting understanding that there is a power and there is another way. And one preacher of righteousness and 120 years of revival services and only 7 converts. But because he stayed connected with another world, he saved the world through a boat built at the direction of God. Through the centuries, even a crippled, incomplete perception of God's presence lifted a man head and shoulders tall above the masses. Abraham and Sarah, Isaac, Jacob. We wonder and marvel sometimes at the extent of their weaknesses and their failures. But we neglect to remember they are operating in connecting with a world that has grown dim and distant. And it is absolutely amazing that they had such an understanding of God in His presence. Get thee up and get thee out. Out from among thy kindred. Out from among thy father's house. And they began searching for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. They did not find it, but they never quit looking for it. The fabulous Joseph, when Potiphar's wife tempted him with what was acceptable in that place and time, it was his loyalty to the master. But hear his words. God forbid that I should sin this sin against my master and against my God. Where did he get that? Somehow he knew there's more to life than living. There's more here than pleasure. There's more here than entertainment. There's more here than just getting what you can get and accomplishing what you can accomplish. There is a world that's worth living for. There is a God that's worth serving. Moses met him in a burning bush and did not fully comprehend, but he gave him his life anyway. David sung his sweet songs in the shepherd's fields, and somehow in the stars and in nature he found there's another world. Today, such recognition and connection with this world is so rare as to be virtually non-existent. Paul describes the plight of all mankind when he asks in a kind of baffled hopelessness. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Ladies and gentlemen, we were born the first time with a serious lack, without the ability to connect, to recognize, to realize. So God, in His infinite mercy, put on a robe of flesh. The world could not find Him, so He found us. The world could not connect with Him, and so He connected with us. He became a man, and He walked in this earth. And one dark night, He spoke to a rabbi, and He said, "Here's what's got to happen. You can't go on your first birth. And so verily I say unto thee, you must be born again." This born again is not just a Sunday night thrill. It's not just a camp meeting shout. It's not just to make you feel good. I tell you what it is. It's a connection with a whole new world. It is a pipeline to the real world. In this world there's heartache and sorrow. In this world there's trouble and tribulation. But in the real world, the sun is shining. God is in charge. Victory is available. Healing is accessible. Deliverance is available for whosoever will. Oh, somebody ought to praise Him right now. Our first birth was flawed, but our second birth is perfect. It opens up the floodgates. It connects.
real world. No wonder they think we're crazy. We do not grieve as others. We do not sorrow as others. We don't see the world like others see the world. We don't care about its materialism. We don't care about its crooked values. We don't care about its goals and dreams and ambitions. We've caught a glimpse of the real world. So much just doesn't matter anymore when you've seen the real world. So much just doesn't affect you anymore when you've seen the real world. You people are crazy. You ever heard that? What makes you act like that? We don't act like that where I go to church. We don't act like that at the ball game. You guys are nuts. Well, you see, you got to understand. We've got a glimpse of another place. We have got connected with another world. And all of a sudden, Mark McGuire doesn't matter near as much as Jesus Christ. All of a sudden, the things of the world just aren't that important anymore. I don't understand it. You lost a loved one. You've had trouble in your family. Your marriage is in on the rocks. But there you are on the front row. And the first song starts. And you're not down in the dumps. But you've got your hands in the air. You don't understand. We have seen another world. We have connected with what really matters. We have a God that delivers alcoholics, that sets drug addicts free, that puts marriages back together, that brings hope to the hopeless. Let me tell you tonight, that's the real world out there. I know you're hurting tonight. I know you're going through trouble tonight, but let me tell you about the real world. In the real world, God reigns supreme. In the real world, sickness is conquered. In the real world, heartache is only temporary. In the real world, separation is only for a time. In the real world, death itself is never final. I'm talking about the real world. We live in a shadowy world that we can confuse with what is really real. But I want to tell you about the real world. The devil is already defeated. The blood has conquered all. Hell is on the retreat. And God is on the move. I'm telling you about the real world. I know in the newspaper it's murder and mayhem, and God only knows what's happening to our beloved country. But let me tell you, that's not the real world. The real world, there is victory and there is triumph. In the real world, there is revival blazing in the church. You can live in the real world. Fear and doubt and disappointment has clouded your eyes. But there is a world out there where you are triumphant, where you have the glory and the guts to serve God. In the real world, the devil can't whip you. In the real world, trouble cannot overcome you. In the real world, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That's the real world. It's only shadowy half-truths that are here today and gone tomorrow. It's only emotion, fleeting feeling that locks us into the prison house of doubt and pain. But hear me, beyond that shadowy world is the substance. And the substance is not in the devil's hands. The substance is not in death and heartbreak and sorrow. The substance is in the bright, sunlit uplands where God reigns and victory belongs to His people. If there be any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. They shall anoint him with oil. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. That's the real world. Anything you ask in my name, believing, I will do it. That's the real world. Some of you hadn't caught a hold of it yet. I'm not preaching fairy tales up here tonight. I'm not here trying to entertain you. I'm trying to tell you we are not an accident. We are not hope-sos or think-sos or wish-sos. This is real. What's happening here tonight is more real than the sunshine in the morning. More real than the air that we're breathing. More real than our heart pumping. Because this is forever and ever and ever. The world passes away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. That's the real world. Somebody told me once, said, you know, y'all go to those camp meetings, so that ain't the real world. Get a bunch of people in there and the music's going and preacher's spitting and screaming and sweating and everybody gets all hyper. They leave there thinking, man, I can do it. I can make it. I can overcome it. I can. And then they get back to the real world. Same old devil, same old problem, same old defeats and same old heartache and same pain and same. Let me tell you what. They got it backwards. That's not the real world out there. This is the real world. I know you think I'm nuts, but I'm telling you, when God's people gather together and the Spirit of the Lord begins to move, this is the real world. This is not a fake. This is not a fraud. This is not emotionalism. The Holy Ghost is walking in this place. He is reaching out and placing His hand upon hurting hearts right now in the name of Jesus Christ. It is not a figment of our imagination. My God, we can take this real world out there into that shadow land. We can win. We can overcome. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's the real world. You can win your children. You can win your parents. You can win your husband. You can win your wife. You can win on your job. You can overcome your heartaches. You can do it because that's the real world. Oh, somebody ought to praise Him right now. Oh, I feel like praising Him a little while. God's doing something right now. I'll preach more in a minute. But God is accomplishing something right now. First night of camp meeting. What do you say? We make this the real world. This isn't some sham or falsehood. This isn't hope so. It is not just our imaginations. God is here walking these aisles. Oh my God, He's touching somebody right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Be healed. Be whole. Be set free. Be delivered. My God, we have connected with the real world. Let's walk in it a little bit tonight. I know you're really hurt, but I know God really heals. I know you're really struggling, but I know God really strengthens. I know you're really going through it, but I know God that said He'll go with you through whatever valley of the shadow of death, and you need fear no evil. He said that, and that's more real than what you read in the papers today. You're almost to reach out and touch it. Come on. Come on. You're almost to step over into it. Out of the world of the mediocre where you've been living. Out of the shadowy world of the pain and anguish that you've been into. You're almost ready to step into the world where the sun is shining. Where God is here to touch you and deliver you. God wants to put salve on your wounds. God wants to open your eyes. Come on. Step into it right now. Just a minute here. Come on. You're almost there. This is not hope so. This is not just preaching. This isn't just talking. It's real and you can live in this world. That's what the Holy Ghost was about. That's what Jesus' name baptism is about. That's what born of the water and born of the Spirit is. It is getting us into the real world. I can't go on. Somebody needs to step into the real world. You've lived in that shadow land long enough. You've been struggling under that weight long enough. This is not the plan of God for you. It's not what God wants for you. He's got something better, something higher, something greater. And it's available to you through the Holy Ghost. If you could just see what's happening in your life, what is accessible and available. A world whose majesty is beyond our imagining. A world whose glories are beyond our comprehension. The flesh cannot see it. It is spiritually discerned. God wants you to see the real world. Come on, open the door and step through it. Come on, it's there. I'm trying to take you by the hand. I know your eyes are clouded by your anguish and pain. I know. I know you once saw it, but you've lost a glimpse of it, and somehow the enemy has covered your eyes. But I want to take you by the hand and lead you through that world, into that world, through that open door. The Holy Spirit has torn back the curtains, and there it is, a whole new world. Come on, look at the distant mountains, beautiful in their majesty. Look at the rushing river and the beautiful flower-strewn meadows. Oh God, my friend, there is a hope here for you. There's a way out here for you. It's not in what you can do. It's not in the answers in this physical world. Your situation may not change. What is hurting you may not disappear. But all the real world behind it, the real world that really is there, that is what you need to step into. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let's do something. In the name of Jesus. 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 Umay shayadorayama komaya. In the name of Jesus. I want you to reach out and place your hand on someone next to you right there in the balcony. Across this service, Holy Ghost is moving right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Open his eyes, Lord, and let him see. He's not alone. She's not abandoned. They're not forsaken. More with us than there are against us. Standing on the walls of a surrounded city, all you can see is the Syrians. But listen to me, there are fiery angels, horses and chariots of fire between you and your enemy. God has already moved them into position, already moved to protect you and take care of you. You just can't see it yet, but it's there. It's real. God, open their eyes and let them see. Some want to move out into the aisles or down here to the front. Some right there where you are breaking through to the real world. You're looking beyond the pain and beyond the sorrow and beyond the heartbreak. And you're seeing what God can do and what God is doing. There's someone who really feels a need right now to step out, but you're embarrassed. You're afraid of what someone may think or say. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter right now. Right now, you need to connect with that other world. You need to get beyond what the eyes and the ear and the tongue can produce or perceive. And you need to do what the Holy Ghost has laid on your heart. He has engineered this service for you. You must do what the Holy Ghost has laid on your heart. I want you to step out. The front is virtually empty right now. There's not much room. But God has spoke to you about moving out from where you are. Take them by the hand. Go ahead. Do what the Holy Ghost has told you. And make your way down here. There's room for you right now, but you better hurry. Come on. Come on in Jesus' name. Now, if God hasn't spoken to you in that way, but you have felt the touch of His hand tonight, I want you to pray with that person next to you, perhaps lifting their hands with your hands. I want you to open your eyes and let God show you that He's already working out your situation. He's already taking care of your problem. That's the real world. Press in if you've come toward the front. You're going to have to move up as far as you can because there are others that want to do the same. In the name of Jesus. Somebody's going to meet you right here. Begin to pray with you throughout the crowd. Our prayer chaplains are going to begin to move. God's already spoken this. The name of Jesus Christ. Right over here in the back. Come on. I want you to open your heart right now. This is an unusual camp. It's going to be an incredible camp. Not because I'm here or you're here, but because the Holy Ghost is reaching. Now let's put our hands up. Come on, let's begin to worship God. The Holy Ghost.